Welcome to the Oceanovation Dublin podcast. Here at Oceanovation, we're all about the ocean, celebrating people and companies who are making a real difference in their own way. The Dublin podcast is our weekly rendezvous where innovators, scientists, investors, founders, and ocean lovers share their insights and solutions to protect our ocean for future generations. I'm your host, Elodie Dalliot. Let's dive in. So hi everyone, I'm meeting Alyssa today, leading Sea Ahead in the US. And Alyssa, just to kick off our conversation today, I believe you actually grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And when you mentioned that, I didn't really associate that location as like a great exotic place with a nice seaside. And I think a lot of people are like me. And then you mentioned, well, actually, I was 20 minutes away walking, 20 minutes away from the beach. And I believe that gave you that exposure and I would say maybe love or addiction to the ocean to escape the big city. And how did it build basically that, how did it ignite your creative entrepreneurship around the ocean?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not a direct line, of course, but yeah, we used to walk to the beach, which I think was a quite unusual. It felt like, it was just great in the summertime. And, and you know, from there, from growing up in Brooklyn, I went into engineering and I went to engineering school as a mechanical and civil engineer and, you know, back in New York and thinking about what I could be doing to make more impact, went to grad school and, started working for McKinsey in their global clean tech practice and then decided I wanted to be on the startup side. And so all of this, I was, mostly in on the clean tech, I was all in clean tech in electric power sector, in the automotive space, working on lightweighting, and then got together with my co-founders and we started Sea Ahead. And so one of the things that we're doing is applying a lot of the things that we have learned in what's happened in clean tech to the broadening of the idea of the ways that we could be affecting change and that the ocean is a really important both asset, opportunity, and you know, I'd say in many ways victim of what's happening on the land. And so if we can you know, think about the ocean differently while applying what we've learned in clean tech, we have this new big opportunity.
No, and I think you're right. And because you mentioned, obviously, you started as a startup, and it's very interesting because it helps you to be completely immersed into the reality of the startup today. So when you created Sea Ahead, it's with a mindset that, oh yeah, I know what it is to struggle to build a network and an infrastructure, and yes, and it results in poor access to funding most of the time. So in practice, how do you shift that mindset and that daily challenge for all these creative and smart entrepreneurs out there? Like, how do you help them to make the change?
Yeah, you know, it really does help to have been in venture-backed startups myself when working with the folks, you know, in our community, because I, you know, we've been through the same situations. Like I have also, you know, looked at the bank account and looked at the payroll and thought like, oh wow, that's going to be close. You know, so I have that very sort of acute understanding of the situation and the things that can and do go wrong. And of course, we try to learn from each other, right? And so I would say one of the key things that we've been doing at Sea Ahead, you know, which is now, you know, approaching in May, it'll be its fifth birthday, which is hard to believe now. But really, when we got started, there wasn't a thesis around innovation in the ocean. It's sort of writ large, right? And so one of the things that we just weren't even sure about when we got started is whether or not there were going to be enough entrepreneurs for us to support, because there was no aggregation of them. And so it's really hard to create an investment thesis if you can't see the landscape of the companies. And so that's a lot of the place that we started, which is to say, like, what is this landscape? Who is in it? Is there enough here? Are there real problems to be solved? And so by aggregating and creating a thesis around the space, we've been able to highlight actually how much activity and how much opportunity is present. And so mm-hmm. that's one of the first ways that we've gotten started. And then, you know, we think fundamentally, if we're going to support startups, we need to be able to provide them with a few things. One is funding.
Yeah.
So all the things that we do have funding in some way associated with them, because the startups need resources to grow. Mm-hmm. And then we focus then on the other kinds of resources that they need. So they need people.
Yeah.
They need, you know, oftentimes in the space, like specific kinds of facilities, access to those facilities. So we work to find them and then figure out how they can use them, whether it's a wave tank or a specific kind mm-hmm. of, you know, piece of technical equipment. And we, you know, so that's on the sort of facilities side. And we work to connect them with the sort of advisor mentors that they need in yeah. order to say tell their story better or create a brand that others will really be able to believe in.
And then
as we're closing the loop on that, you know, of course it's the customers, right? And so the things that they need in order to raise money is proof that someone is willing to pay for what they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can get proof that someone is willing to pay for what they're selling, fundraising is so much easier. So
yeah, it's interesting.
So those are
the key thing.
Go ahead.
No, it's good, because it's when I was searching about what you're doing, obviously, and what makes you so like specific around the approach you have with startup is that, so Blue Tech is obviously in the last few years has completely boomed. The more I talk about it with other obviously partners and startup, it seems to be very trendy.
Mm-hmm.
But however, there's a lot of Blue Tech that's focused on only making profit. It's like, okay, I have to make money mm-hmm. quickly. And as you're saying it, and there was a specific word that your company is using, is like you want to deliver like a triple bottom line impact. And like on the paper, it's amazing. It's like they're doing investment. For the investor, it's like, oh my God, yes, I'm ticking the boxes. It's great. And I'm actually creating something meaningful. And you just mentioned something around the investor side. So how do you support the startup to position the solution in front of the investors who somehow they are eager to take part of the journey, but they still need to feel confident that indeed there's a market for the product or the service being offered, whatever it is? Like, it is a fine line because of the lack of information and knowledge from the investor side in the Blue Tech, because it's so new in
mm-hmm.
So it would be very interesting to see how you actually bridge the gap, basically, because I think it's one of the biggest challenge, right? It's bridging this gap between the
yeah.
founders and the investors.
Yeah, absolutely. It's tricky, especially for early stage companies, right? So if we're looking at the pre-seed, Series A yeah. stage funding, that's what we find to be the most difficult funding for companies in the space to get, because once they've proven the business model, they've executed on their plan, and they've demonstrated that they create value for their customers, then a lot wider group of funders become available, because then they're not investing against a conviction, right? They're investing against a business plan.
Yeah.
And a business model that has proof points. And identify funding. We are seeing a number of new investors in the space, particularly in Europe, right? Yeah. The European Union has been quite, forward-leaning in terms of supporting the growth of venture investors in the space. And so,
okay,
you know, the US and others are lagging behind, yeah. absolutely. But we are starting to see some US-based funds coming through. And if you looked at See Ahead itself, right? So we have our Blue Angel group, which is 40 plus angel investors that syndicate deals together. And we've, as a group, the group has done, I think, 24 deals to date.
All right.
in the last 2.5 years, and they've put to work a little over $2.5 million, mostly in seed stage investment opportunities. And then that, you know, scales to others, right, who come in alongside them, right, because the angels never do the full round, but by participating and contributing in a round and applying their expertise, others can become comfortable with those companies. And so you might see, you know, the angels doing a piece of a round that's $1.5 million or $2 million, et cetera.
Hey everyone, Elodie's here with a quick favor to ask. Are you looking for a way to connect with more inspiring innovators in the blue space, just like today's podcast guest? Join us at the Oceanovation Festival and connect with investors, startup, corporate, and industry professional from all sectors of the blue economy. Check out the link in the show notes for more information. Thank you, and let's dive back in.
So if I'm a startup, like, so as obviously because you take them from, obviously, you know, accelerating programs, supporting them, mentorship, funding. So we know that as an institution like yours or an organization like yours, you look at different criterias. So, you know, you have scalability, what's your impact, what's your product type, all these kind of things, you know, to understand actually, can we help you? Are we the right fit for your company? Because also it's a matter of just not, yes, we take you on board. Like, we want to make sure that the things that can make them successful is a fit for you as well. So on a startup perspective, what really makes the difference when it comes to understanding the customer needs, my competitors, how can I use your platform at the best to make profit out of my venture? So why would you tell a startup like me, or like to make sure I'm giving the best, or I'm identifying the best of what I have to position the product in front of these investors? Because it's such a competitive environment.
Yeah.
The so $1 million question.
I think this is this is a hard question, but I think it's a combination of two things. It's the combination of being able to tell the vision story. Yeah. So the story of where the company is trying to go and what the difference it will make is when it gets there, both for its customers and sort of more broadly in that triple bottom line impact story, because, you know, a lot of investors are not they're, when you meet especially at these early stages, an investor, they're not necessarily investing, you know, one-to-one against the, you know, prospective IRR of this particular investment, right? They're investing in a person and their belief in that person's ability to overcome obstacles and to be resilient. And so, and they're also investing in a vision of the future that they would like to believe in. Mm-hmm. And so I think being able to tell the story and being able to convince someone that your vision is a vision that they should share is like the number one part of it. And the number two part of it is being able to demonstrate that there is at least one customer that really cares about paying you to make that vision part of the future.
It's interesting.
And so, right, if the place where a lot of folks get sort of stuck is in that one customer that will pay them.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny. I mean, not funny, but it's interesting when you say that, because when we approached a couple of startups last year when we did our meetup and we were chatting about, you know, the storytelling, and they were all looking at us like, that's obviously not a priority, because I don't think they really visualize the importance of positioning your vision. And there were a couple of workshops we did with some friend of ours, and some case study and some, you know, role play. And funny enough, most of them, they couldn't tell the story. Not like they couldn't tell us. They could tell us what the product was. But then when we said, tell us your story, it was almost like a, you know, the computer says no. Like, I don't understand the question. And I was very interested that you positioned this as the number one priority, because once you be able to compel someone with a story, that's where the magic happens, right? It's like, okay, yes, I believe in you. As you said, we invest in you as a person. We invest you because we want to believe that you have the right team. So when we ask about what is your team made of, and a couple of people down the line realize, actually, that was not the right partner I had, or it was not the right team. And I didn't realize how much it would affect the success of it. So it's very interesting that you position this as well as the number one. It's not just a product. Like, okay, cool, you have a product that's fantastic. But can you tell us where you're going with it? What's your actual vision? Where is the end point? Is it just to create a short-term impact? Or what do you want to change? And I just find it interesting because I feel now the investor community is also looking at this more. When the traditional investors were more driven by ROI, as you know, and be like, okay, yes, okay, what's your number? We're going to crunch some number. What is the year one looking like, year two, year three? And then the story didn't really matter, even in my previous company. And only lately, they're like, okay, let's put the number aside and focus on actually who you are and what you want to achieve. So it's quite interesting that shift is operating, especially in the blue tech, which I find quite not difficult, but it's a more difficult sector to, as you said, to enter as a startup than another one because of the complexity of what you're trying to develop and maybe the timeline as well. Like, it takes more time to develop a solid product that you can sell and to find the customer that actually will understand the product and adopt it. So it would be interesting for me to see how is See Ahead in the future. What is the next step? Like, what are you looking at for the next few years? What are the exciting plan you have? Sorry to say ahead. and that we, yeah, I know. I'm sure no one did this to you.
I mean, if we don't fill the whole podcast with ocean puns, we'll not have
I'm
done
so
our job.
I'm so impressed with right? myself that I'm usually like just over puns, and I'm very glad I haven't done it yet too much. So, but on the note, like, what do you want for See Ahead to become? Like, you right now, that's what you're doing. You focus on blue tech. You want to expand. You want to create a safe place and a solid base for startups. What is your end goal? You know, what's the end game for See Ahead? The objective in the next few years?
Yeah. Look, world domination, obviously. No.
What else?
We're working on a couple of different things. So one of the things we're working on is increasing the access to early stage capital. So yep. we are looking at pulling together our own fund so that we will have capital that we can deploy more quickly and then also apply the expertise and the folks that we have brought into our community in order to attract more capital into the space. A lot of times what we're hearing from folks is that, hey, yeah, I've got soft circles, but they're not experts. And so they want us to have an investor come in and lead the round that has expertise and can lead the due diligence. Okay. And so that's really difficult when it's, as an angel group, it's a lot more difficult for us to take that position. And so that's a position that we would really like to be able to take it with See Ahead.
All right.
And so that's the biggest thing on our agenda for the next year. And then, moving forward, we're also looking at how do we scale our programs so that we can, work with our entrepreneurs in a deeper way.
Yeah.
So we are looking at, how do we expand the resources that we provide to them. We've had, this year we've had entrepreneurs in residence join our programs. We're looking at how we've also increased the sizes of the stipends that we've been able to provide to the startups. And we launched, our first program in the Gulf of Mexico. So a lot of that happened over the last year. And so we're looking at now, okay, well, in 2023 and going forward, how can we continue to expand the resources that we're able to provide to the startups that we're supporting.
Yeah.
And evaluating the opportunity for new programs at the same time.
Yeah, it's amazing. And also just, it's an amazing story to tell as well, when you can actually look back and look at the alumni or startup of core that you had and say, look at them now, look at those babies. They became, grown-ups and they're actually creating the impact that we wanted them to do because they took the right step and they invested in the right field of the company, telling their story, making sure they can scale, making sure they create the impact, that they have the right customer. So it's always exciting, I think, for an organization like yours, because this is where you see the magic happen. This is the purpose at the end of the day, the empowerment of the startup. So it's very exciting. I'm hoping that
absolutely. And now, when we look at our, sort of wide portfolio, if you look at the companies that have been funded by the angel investors and the companies that have gone through our programs, Blue Swell and Gulf Blue Navigator, you know, we're supporting, you know, something like, you know, our portfolio now of those companies is something like 60 companies. There's a lot of work to do still with the companies that we've already supported, in addition to attracting, recruiting, finding, helping to create and, you know, and grow and scale the companies of the future. So there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of room in this space.
I have a last little question. It's just out of curiosity. What would you say compared to, if you look at the other countries in the world and other regulation and startups, I would say how they operate, would you say that the US is, how is the US positioning themselves in terms of supporting entrepreneurs? Because I've talked to some people around the world, and it's always interesting to see, like, how do you think your country is doing? You know, like, do you think, of course, there's way more you can do, but how would you rank the United States or even some key states? I would say they're all different in terms of the investment policies, but how would you say the US is doing in terms of supporting entrepreneurs in the ocean space? Or are they leading in that field?
Yeah, so I'd say, you know, like we said before, Europe certainly has the most venture capital at play in the space now, and that's happened over the past, you know, year, 2 years. And so the U.S. has a little catching up to do in order to have the kind of, you know, dedicated early stage funding that Europe's got now. But at the same time, the U.S. has such a vibrant venture ecosystem. Mm. We're seeing a lot of interest in that venture ecosystem in applying skill sets to the ocean.
Yeah.
And so we're starting to see entrepreneurs coming in who've seen success in creating technologies in adjacent or totally different spaces, right? So applying skill sets that they've acquired in data science and now saying, like, oh, well, how could I apply this into the ocean? And so that's the kind of impact that we think that the U.S. has the opportunity to make, which is to attract these, you know, experienced entrepreneurs to then think about, oh, well, I never thought about how this might affect, you know, our ability to create a more resilient coastline or to predict flooding or to, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I truly believe, like, that's the area where the U.S. can be, you know, a thought leader. And when, as we're looking at how do we find the funding to do that, it's also looking at the adjacent funders and thinking about how, like, oh, well, this funder funds agriculture and this deal we're trying to get done is an aquaculture deal. Could that funder think about aquaculture in the same way they think about agriculture? Yeah. Is this climate investor, can that climate investor think about this blue carbon deal the way they think about other deals? And so that's the way that we have been working with the startups to try to get the funding that they require.
It's a mind shift, basically. It's like, look, because there's so much in common, and people just, they know what they know, and it's online, it's easy to understand. Everything underwater is a you know, it's a bit scary, but it's interesting because I always seen the US as more risk takers in general. And that's also what makes them so successful, like entrepreneurs. It's because they're go-getters more than some countries in the world where they were more precautious. And I think that's what some of the U.S. entrepreneurs are also very successful, is because they go for it. They're like, no, we want to, we like the risk attached to, the result will be greater than the risk attached to it. So it's pretty exciting, I think, for the U.S. space for you as well. It's great.
Yeah, you know, so I think we need more dedicated funds. I think that we're trying to find our way through that by expanding the way that others think about themselves and having them include the ocean within their broader thesis.
Yeah, you don't want it to be just an add-on or like a distraction for, like it's been for many years. I'm like, oh yeah, let's tick the box of ESG and have some, you know, some blue in our colors. Mm-hmm. When actually it's should be one of the foundation of some of the business models. That's true.
Well, blue is a really nice color, though. So
it is absolutely. Yeah. Alyssa, it was amazing to connect with you today. I had a good fun talking to you, and I really hope we get to connect more, and obviously we can involve you in the project and get more of your insights, which I think are extremely valuable for the startup community that is listening to us, but also for the investor one, which needs more information and to believe more in the project that are happening out there. So thank you for that.
And that's a wrap. I hope you really enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did. It was such a pleasure to have our guest on the show with us. Don't forget that next week, we'll be back with another inspiring and inspired guest making waves in the blue economy. You can check out our past episodes on the website. The link is right in the show notes. You can also subscribe to our newsletter if you want to stay up to date on all things ocean innovation related. We would love to have you on board. Also, remember to share your thoughts with us about this week's episode. We need to hear from you about what topic and what guest you would like to hear from us in the future. Thanks for listening, and I cannot wait to dive in with you again next week. Au revoir!